I invite you to join me in the responsive call to worship on this Christmas Eve. We gather in the darkness of evening to celebrate the newborn light. Lift up your hearts in thanksgiving, for a child, the child, is born.
We gather to worship him, for he is the light of the world.
Come, in this busy season, we wait, our wait is finished. Let us worship God. Let me begin by welcoming you to our 7 p.m. Christmas Eve service. We also welcome those who are worshiping with us through our live streaming, which are many people indeed. I had a number of people this morning at our combined 10 a.m. service to say, we won't see you this evening in person, but we'll watch online. So we're grateful for that ministry and how it reaches out. It has also helped us with the 4:30 service to kind of even out the attendance so we are not overly full this evening. This is the first year I've experienced that since the last Christmas Eve when we did the same kind of sequence, and it's helpful. But we're glad to have you this evening at our Christmas Eve worship service. I would ask you to complete the friendship sheet, the little skinny sheet in the bulletin. This is a record of your attendance. You can note as well on the back if there is a prayer request or a prayer of joy that you would like to share. We would be honored to pray for you in this season, especially over this Christmas joyous season with our prayer chain. And so let us know that. Also, if you are a local guest or a snowbird or worshiping with us this evening online, we call your attention to take opportunity to make Northwood your church home. In the new year, you will see the next Discovering Northwood class is January the 21st. The new year is a wonderful time to make yourself a church home, and we hope you'll seek to do that if you're worshiping with us, and we hope you'll worship with us often. Let me also extend an invitation to you to be with us next Sunday. Next Sunday, New Year's Eve, December 31st, we will return to our regular worship schedule. We have a 9 a.m. contemporary service and 11 o'clock a.m. traditional service. And so two services next Sunday morning, no evening services next week like this week. Also, if you purchased a poinsettia in honor or in memory of a loved one, you're invited to take that poinsettia this evening following the service. Thank you for your beautifying the sanctuary to the glory of God in this season. Candle lighting. My candle's down in the pew, but you have a candle as well, I hope. And what you are to do is always keep a lighted candle straight like this. Never bend the lit candle. During the candle lighting ceremony, those who have a lighted candle, hold it straight up, and those who need to light their candle, bend that one. And that will help us to reduce the wax cleanup later. And please be safe with that. What else am I trying to miss here? The offering. The offering this evening, as you can read in the bulletin, is with the Helping Hands Fund. This fund is only received once a year on Christmas Eve, and it is used the entire year to help those who are most needy in our community and in our church family. And I encourage you to be generous in that gift for the whole year. We do have some angels throughout the year who make designated gifts to that fund, and I thank them as well this evening. You may make your gift using the giving stations, the boxes in the back in the hallway outside the sanctuary, and they'll be there, of course, after the service for you this evening. And make sure you also, when you finish with your candles this evening, when we extinguish them, to return them to the big boxes, the receptacles in the hallway as well. And then finally, on behalf of our church officers, our elders and deacons, the church choir, and all of our church staff, we wish you a very joyous Christmas. Let us worship God.
Thank you. Tonight is Christmas Eve, the culmination of 4 weeks of waiting. We thank God for his gift of Jesus. We give thanks that through Christ, his light has come into the world and made it possible for us to see, and in seeing, to rejoice. We light the Christ candle to celebrate that Emmanuel is here. We thank God for the hope that is given, for the peace that is bestowed, for the joy poured into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way.
Let us pray. Loving God, Emmanuel, we thank you for being with us and for sending Christ to walk with us and to lead us. Grant that the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love spoken of throughout Advent may be fully realized in us this night and forevermore. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Oh, In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
We come to the call to offering. As Chris mentioned earlier, this is our once a year offering for our Helping Hand Fund to reach out to those in support in our community. And there are giving stations out in the hallway. You can also give a gift online or mail in a gift, however you feel like God might be leading you. But this is a ministry where we seek to be a light on the hill, sharing God's love, for we believe that God's love does make all the difference. Please pray with me. God of grace, in the midst of a season so focused on shopping and finding the right gift, we now, out of faith and love, give our gifts to you. We pray, O God, that you will bless these gifts in wonderful ways, so that they may be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life-giving good news to all in need of your saving grace and presence in their lives. For we remember that all our giving has its foundation in the amazing gift you gave to us, putting on flesh and coming in the person of a child, Emmanuel, God with us. So may what we give today and the days to come be bathed in the knowledge that yours is the most perfect gift and the one we need the most. We pray in the holy name of the Christ child, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Stars are brightly shining.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Sing we all know.
I conclude this evening a series of sermons on the title, What Child Is This That Changed the World? And tonight is the third sermon in this series entitled, There Is Something About Christmas. Our reading is from Luke 2. This is a story about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the story that includes the shepherds and the angels. And I want to invite you on this evening using an ancient tradition of Christmas Eve to stand during the reading of this gospel passage. Please stand as we listen to the birth of our Lord. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them. And we know that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated. As we come to the message, let us bow in silence for a few moments. In Christ's name, amen. The Reverend Fleming Rutledge tells about a time years ago in a book she wrote when she was serving as a pastor in a church in New York City. She says that during those days, she used to hang around with some people who she called urban literary types. Most of them were somewhat, she said, disdainful of religion. She remembers one man in particular who spoke to her. He discovered Rutledge was a pastor, and when he discovered that, he made himself known to her because he had a confession to make. He confessed very sheepishly, I would add, that he had done something behind his wife's back. Apparently, his wife, a literary type, had long since banished every hint of religion from their home. She held Christian faith, Rutledge writes, in contempt. She regarded the faith as a relic of superstition and an unenlightened era. Attending church, of course, from their home was out of the question for this man. And the resulting impact on her husband was quite interesting. He told Patler Rutledge that at Christmas time he found himself so longing to hear the Christmas story from Luke's gospel, which we just heard, that he actually smuggled a small King James Bible into their bathroom one evening, locked the door, and read it to himself. That's a true story, says Rutledge. Well, you and I are more fortunate than that poor man this evening. We do not have to slip off to some private room so as not to be discovered by others. We get to hear this precious story, and we get to read it any time that we please. I would encourage you to take a moment in this Christmas season and read this with others, and for all means, even read it by yourself. And this evening, we have had the pleasure of hearing it in the company of family and friends. Oh, wouldn't it have been so thrilling to have been present when the angels burst into that song on that first Christmas Eve? That would have been just wonderful. Now, I know it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all in the story. It doesn't say that the angels were singing. In fact, it says they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest." But that's how we remember it in our hearts and minds. I remember it that way, that they were singing. Which brings me to this story. There was an article that recently appeared in the Southwest Review magazine. I learned that that quarterly magazine is one of the third oldest quarterly magazines in our nation. But in that Southwest Review magazine, there was a story written by Roger Gilbert, who reflected on being in a crowd with hundreds of other people this year watching that solar eclipse that appeared with a ring around it. He shared that at the moment the moon became superimposed on the sun, the entire crowd around him spontaneously burst into applause. And Gilbert then made this observation, which is the question for us on this Christmas Eve. To whom and to what were they applauding? We tend to imagine that we applaud at a live performance, that for applause, the applause is for the performers, that its purpose is to communicate to them our enjoyment and our approval of what they have done and what they have told us. But this applause suggested, says Gilbert, that in some cases at least, communication is a secondary motive. That applause is first and foremost a way of responding to what he calls the elation of the moment. Think about that phrase for a moment. Applause is responding to the elation of a moment that we experience. You know, on further reflection of this story, I imagined, and I hope you'll imagine it with me, that when the angels burst into praise on that Christmas Eve, not only do I imagine them singing, but I imagine that their praise to God was like a crowd applauding for that magnificent eclipse. That's what I imagine. Because it was an act of elation in response to something quite beautiful, to something quite unique, God become a human being. And that, my friends, is why you and I are here this evening to join in applause of our Creator. How? How do we do that in here? With hymns and songs and readings of Scripture and prayer and the burning of candles amidst the darkness. That's how we do it. To celebrate, you see, an occasion so beyond our understanding that all we can do is stand in awe and wonder and applaud God with our worship. I found it most interesting to remember in my reading some time ago that when they laid the first transatlantic cable across the bed of the Atlantic Ocean to Europe, which took over 9 years, by the way, none of us were around at that time, 1857 to 1866, 9 years, they sought to find, when they completed laying it, just the right words to communicate a radio broadcast over that line. And do you know what lines they chose? The very message the angels brought to the shepherds that glorious night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all people. And that brings us back to the first thing about this holy night that I want us to remember and acknowledge. And that is, there is something about Christmas that brings out the best in people. Isn't that your experience? Christmas brings out the best in people. Now, I know some of you may protest from the experiences that you've had recently in your Christmas shopping and all of this traffic. You might say that Christmas brings out the very worst in people. Wait till you try to take a gift back. It gets terrible. And you would be correct in some cases that Christmas does at times bring out the worst. But note that every once in a while you hear a story that revives your faith in humanity. And oh, how hungry we are we not, for a story like that just now in our world. Maybe even a simple story like this. Case in point, author David Bruce, in his book, Don't Fear the Reaper, tells a wonderful story about a crotchety old man with less than a positive attitude. One winter, some unknown person went to this elderly man's house, crotchety elderly man, and cleared his driveway of several feet of snow. Now, without saying anything about it, and with no expectation of compensation, the man unknown cleared away the heavy snowfall from the old crotchety man's driveway. And if that wasn't enough, using the snow which he had shoveled from the driveway, the anonymous do-gooder made a row on both sides of his driveway of snowmen and snowwomen to line that driveway. It was beautiful. It was marvelous. But remember, I told you the old man was crotchety. And when he saw that someone had done this in his driveway, the old man complained and he grumbled out loud about the trespasser. He went on and on about the trespasser who scraped the driveway and made the snow people. That was the word he used, the trespasser. Now, the neighbor's son was overhearing this. Hearing the old man complaining, however, he did not know what the word trespass meant. He assumed that it must be a good thing. He was impressed with the snow people, and the little boy exclaimed, "Wow, that's the biggest, bestest present I've ever seen." And he then asked his dad, "Could we have someone trespass in our own lawn as well?" Now, the old man, caught off guard by what the boy had just said, stopped grumbling. And for the first time in forever that they could remember, the old man smiled. The very next day, the old man left a Christmas card outside the neighbor's front door as well as a gift for the neighbor's son. His neighbor, the father, writes of the boy, "If I ever find out who made those snow people on that old crotchety man's lawn, I will be sure to send them something in return. because they gave my son, myself, and our elderly neighbor the biggest, bestest present ever. There is something about Christmas that can bring the best out in people, at least a great many people. And don't you imagine that this is partially true because at Christmas, in particular, we are conscious of the people in our lives who mean the most to us, and they bring out the best in us as well. Christmas is a time of relationships, our relationship with our God and the relationships with those whom we love. And this reminds me this evening of the mother of our Lord. It reminds me of Mary. Mary, who experienced an extremely difficult time in her life. This Mary found herself in the final month of her pregnancy riding on a humble donkey, headed for the tiny town of Bethlehem, where she was turned away from the only available inn. And after giving birth in a lowly stable of all places, before she could return home, she was forced to flee to Egypt with her husband, Joseph, and the babe to escape the murderous designs of King Herod. Life was not easy for the family of Jesus, but love found a way. And Christmas brings out the best in people. At Christmas, we are particularly conscious of the people in our lives who mean the most to us. But of course, the most important thing about Christmas is that it's a story of God invading our world, who chooses to be with us in whatever journey that we face. A wonderful example of the presence of God in our world is found in the story of all people on this evening of George Frederick Handel. You may be aware of his story. Handel was at a low point at one point in his life. He was in deep debt. He was in bad health. He had recently suffered a cerebral hemorrhage and was paralyzed on the right side of his body. And for 4 years, he could neither walk nor write. The doctors could do nothing for him. He managed to write several operas eventually, but they were not successful enough to pull him out of debt completely. And at the age of 60, he felt his life was over. Then he was challenged by a friend to write a sacred oratorio. He read the scriptures for it, and he went to work. And for 24 days, he slept and ate very little. He worked frantically to produce the piece. But remember, before he had begun work on it, he was convinced that his life was over. But encouraged by a friend, he wrote his crowning achievement, Messiah. And here's how the story ends. King George II, at least one version of it, was invited to attend the first performance of Messiah in London in 1743. The audience was extremely moved by the music, as was the king. And when the words, "And he shall reign forever and ever," were sung in the Hallelujah chorus, the king rose to his feet. The audience, seeing the king on his feet, and out of reverence for the king, they also rose to their feet. And as you know, it is still the custom for the audience to stand during this part of the performance to this very day. A fitting ending to music truly inspired by God, just like the music we have heard this evening. And why is that? Because there is something about Christmas that brings the best out in us. At Christmas, we are conscious of the people in our lives who mean the most to us. And Christmas reminds us that God invaded this world. And that's good news for many people in our world living without peace, that God is in our midst. And so I say this evening, praise be to God for this day and moments like this. For tonight we stand and sing and hold candles as applause to our Creator, who brings out the best in us. Amen.
Weird.
candles continue burning with the light of Christ, I invite you in these next few moments to rededicate your life to God, to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, I would now invite you to stand with us and sing together the prayer of our Lord. Please stand. Surround you. May the love of God enfold you, for wherever you are, God is now with you. Amen.